sack. Is that all you get for your money? And if that's what you have in mind, yeah, if that's what you're all about, good luck moving up, 'cause I'm moving out.
Well, good morning and welcome to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. You're listening to Becky Ivins, broker of Movers Real Estate and leader of the Becky Ivins Real Estate team. And we've got a hot topic this morning, neighborhood associations and homeowners associations. So we brought in the expert. We have Miss Georgie Rasko. Your card says Georgie.
Mm-hmm. It is. That is actually my legal name.
Okay, good. Georgie Rasko is the executive director of Neighborhood Alliance of Central Oklahoma. Now, I've known of Neighborhood Alliance for many, many years.
We've been around 43 years.
That's about, honestly, that is probably pretty close to when I started using Neighborhood Alliance probably about 40 years ago, that I started using Neighborhood Alliance as a resource.
Very good. I love that. That's exactly what we are, as a resource for anybody at all, any citizen at all that wants to improve their neighborhood, wants to learn more about real estate, if they're purchasing a home, if they're want to know more about the neighborhood that they're moving into or thinking about moving into, we're there to help.
Okay, so if you've got a question about neighborhood associations, we've got the expert in the house. Your call number is 405-840-1000. It's 405-840-1000. I invite your call. For the first five people, I've got free lunch at Casa Perico's.
How fun.
My favorite place to eat. Have you eaten there?
No, I haven't.
Oh, my gosh. Georgie, we're going to have to go eat there.
We will have to.
My favorite Mexican food
and
restaurant.
And remember, we work with both neighborhood associations and homeowner associations.
Neighborhood associations and homeowners associations.
Yes.
What's the difference?
A neighborhood association is voluntary, meaning that if you move into an area that has a neighborhood association, there typically are not any covenants. And you can join the neighborhood association if you want to, but you don't have to. A homeowners association, if you move into that neighborhood, typically there are covenants, meaning there are rules that you have to abide by to live in that neighborhood, what you can or can't do to your property, for instance. And there are typically dues that you must pay, you have to pay.
And on a neighborhood association, as opposed, let's just say homeowners association, who can join that?
The homeowners association, you have to own property in that neighborhood in order to join. So you have to own a lot, and you're going to build on that lot, or you have to own a lot that you've already built on. And you can own rental property in that neighborhood that you rent out a home, but you have to own some property in that neighborhood.
And just a word of caution to anyone who owns, as a landlord, owns rental property in an HOA neighborhood, homeowners association neighborhood, you can tell your tenant to pay the HOA dues.
Absolutely.
But guess who's responsible if that tenant doesn't pay?
The landlord is.
Yes, the owner of the property.
Or if your tenant doesn't follow the covenants, ultimately, the landlord is responsible for that as well.
Mm-hmm. The homeowner is responsible for that.
Yes.
And sometimes the landlord is a management company, kind of like I have a management company.
Mm-hmm.
So we manage rental properties. And I'm hired and responsible for paying the HOA dues to the homeowners association sometimes. Depends on what kind of contract we have.
Right.
My most recent ones, recent contracts, do not put me in a position to have to pay that. It puts the homeowner in the position to pay.
And it's very, very important for renters, if you're going to move into a neighborhood, ask them, is there a homeowners association here? And if so, you need to be very cognizant of asking who pays those dues and what are the rules that I have to follow in this neighborhood? Because even though your landlord is ultimately responsible, you don't want to be that neighbor that everybody is this disdainful, that, you know, everybody is angry at, because you don't know that you can't have a basketball goal in your driveway, or you don't know that you're not supposed to park a car that blocks something, or that's in the street in front. You don't know what the rules are. So make sure if you're a renter and you're moving into a neighborhood that you ask those questions before you move there.
Right. So the difference between a homeowners association and a neighborhood association is that for one's homeowners associations are mandatory. Neighborhood associations are voluntary. Mm-hmm. Neighborhood associations, tenants can join.
Yes, absolutely. Anybody, and even businesses around their outskirts of the neighborhood can join. The principals of the local schools can join. Anybody that has a vested interest. A lot of times, most of the inner city are voluntary neighborhood associations. So sometimes even people that just grew up in that neighborhood that want to see that neighborhood thrive again, but they live in sometimes other states or even in other parts of the city, they will join that neighborhood association just so that they can help that neighborhood become the thriving neighborhood that it once was. Neighborhood associations and homeowner associations both have the central core message of creating good neighbors. That's their central message for both of them. That's what they're supposed to do utmost. But then from there, HOAs or mandatory associations have a little bit more of a fiduciary responsibility that they're supposed to do, whereas voluntary neighborhood associations their main responsibility is more of a social responsibility in crime prevention and getting to know their neighbors. But other than those two things, the core responsibility of creating good neighbors is what drives both of them.
Yeah. Most of our neighborhoods in the metro, and this is not the same all over the country, but we have designated names that have kind of grown with the neighborhood, mm-hmm. like Coronado neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Everyone calls it Coronado. Well, there's like seven different legal descriptions in Coronado.
Right.
Rollingwood, there's six different legal descriptions mm-hmm. in Rollingwood. Rollingwood really is only about three streets, yet it goes for blocks and blocks.
Mm-hmm.
For neighborhood associations, we kind of define it sometimes by major arteries of streets, kind of define the geographic area, and other times it's kind of the elementary school that defines the area, right?
Right. And neighbors, when they organize their voluntary neighborhood association, they have the right to name it whatever they want to name it. So sometimes it's the platted name that it was named 50, 75, mm-hmm. even 80 years ago. But as you said, back then there were Coronado 1, Coronado 2, Coronado 3. There were lots of different areas that were named Coronado. So not everybody's going to be able to name their neighborhood association Coronado. So just because it's platted as a certain name doesn't mean that that's necessarily going to be the name of the neighborhood association. So don't get upset if your neighborhood association isn't the same name as what appears on your plat.
Yeah, on your legal description, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
Well, we've got a lot more to learn from Georgie Rasko, and we have a lot more to learn from our listeners. We're looking for comments. We're looking for anything that's been a controversy in your neighborhood. Let's talk about it. Give us a call at 840-1000, and we're going to talk about it when we return with more on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. You are listening to Becky Ivins, broker of Movers Real Estate Company and leader of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team. And we have the pleasure of talking to Miss Georgie Rasko. I'm going to give you the website for the Neighborhood Alliance of Central Oklahoma. It is www.nacok.org. That is Neighborhood Alliance Central Oklahoma. There you go. And we're talking neighborhood associations and homeowners associations today.
NMLS number 196-895.
It is time for our mortgage moment with Mr. Dean Riddell of SWBC Mortgage. Good morning, Dean.
Good morning, Becky. How are you?
I'm doing dandy today. How about you?
This is wonderful, beautiful morning.
Yes, it is.
It is.
Tell me how homeowners associations affect the lending process.
Well, that's a good question. It's something that we have to account for. I mean, of course, the customer is responsible for paying those. I had a loan that closed yesterday, and the consumer had not, it was a refinance, had not paid their HOA dues, and there was a lien being filed. So it is something that we had to make sure was satisfied at closing, but the consumer or the buyer, borrower, is responsible for paying that directly. And if not, it will surface.
Well, it has to be paid up at time of closing. And most of the time, they take that out of the seller's proceeds.
Correct.
And prorate it, just like they do taxes. One of the interesting things is that some, as Teddy Lehman just said on his endorsement for Chicago Title, I went to a different place to close last month. And the prorations were wrong because their fiscal year was July 1st or June 30th or whatever instead of the calendar year. Most of them are calendar year, but it's important to know the difference there.
Isn't it normal calendar year, 1-1, you know, to 12/31? But you're right. One out of 10.
It's more common be the calendar year, but normal is whatever that it's filed with the plat, whatever the CCR
says. It's filed on their Articles of Incorporation. They have to list their fiscal year on the Articles of Incorporation. And, yes, you're right, it is more common for it to be the calendar year, but some of them, especially those that maybe had a lawyer or a CPA in their neighborhood when they were adopting their CCRs or their Articles of Incorporation, they might be on a fiscal year of July to June.
And that makes it easier to not fall right there within tax time for everybody.
Right, because it is difficult to pay your dues in January. And a lot of neighborhoods have found that to be true. So they have switched. Some of them have switched their fiscal year.
So,
you know, and Becky, on the qualifying side of it, too, is a lender will always reflect that 1/12 portion of the HOA dues, and some of the neighborhoods have big HOA dues, and so we will factor that 1/12 portion similar to an escrow account, but we factor it into the debt ratio, but yet the consumer is responsible for paying it directly. I mean, that's a common question that I get as we finance homes, is why is $28 here on a HOA? You know, is that included in my payment? Well, it is mathematically. But it's something that you will take care of yourself directly.
Right. You pay it most of the time annually. Sometimes it's quarterly, sometimes it's monthly, depending on the HOA that you're in. But it is factored in as part of your house payment for the qualification purposes.
Exactly.
So, Dean, what are our rates today?
You know, 30-year conventional rates, 3 7/8. It continues to trickle down. Your government loans, Becky, 3 3/4. You know, the first-time home buyer rate sheet yesterday came out that Oklahoma Housing Finance Agency grant is right at 4%. So it's a great time to take a look if you don't own a home to see where you sit. And if not, refinancing calls have picked up as well. So.
Dean, in the OHFA, the down payment assistance, is it available only on FHA and VA loans, or can you use that on a conventional?
You can do it on a conventional loan as well.
So that is, some of that is really important on down payment assistance, especially if you can qualify for 97%.
Mm-hmm.
Conventional loan. So, well, Dean, thank you so much. And if you want to call Dean, it is 858-7770, 858-7770, Dean Riddell, SWBC Mortgage. Thank you, Dean.
Thank you.
Okay. Georgie, are you ready for a phone call?
I am.
Okay. Good morning, Victor.
Yes. I was just wondering, are lawsuits a common problem in disputes with the HOA?
I don't know what you mean by a common problem, but they are common, yes.
And usually the HOA, are they the winners for the most type of thing?
Well, it absolutely depends on what the issue is going to court. I don't know that there's a common winner. It depends on what the issue is going to court. If it's that that the homeowner is refusing to pay dues, then yes, the HOA is the common winner on that. When the homeowner moved into the neighborhood, they signed a document saying that they understood that they moved into an HOA. And even if they didn't sign that document, the courts have pretty much ruled that it was your responsibility as a homeowner to do your own due diligence and research and find out what your responsibilities were on that lot that you purchased, and to realize that there was an HOA there was really your responsibility if no one else told you, and that paying dues is your responsibility, and you cannot withhold dues just because you're unhappy with the HOA. If you don't like what they're doing or you don't feel like they're doing their job, then you need to work that out by going to meetings and voicing your opinion and working within the system and using the bylaws to get that settled. But you cannot withhold your dues. So when they take you to court for withholding of dues or not paying dues, then, yes, typically the HOA is going to win on that.
So, Victor, do you have a specific question about, like, an issue maybe in your neighborhood?
No, not necessarily. I was just wondering if that was a common theme. And also, if with the dues, I was wondering, are they ever capped, or do they continue to grow down through the years, the fees and dues, do they continue to escalate?
Well, they can escalate, absolutely, but they can also be lowered. Sometimes dues are high at the beginning because they're paying off something, or they're paying for something that's expensive. Some neighborhoods realize that a swimming pool is just too expensive to maintain and will close off the swimming pool and fill it in. Some neighborhoods realize they don't have a lot of children anymore in their neighborhood, so they don't need the playground anymore. No one's using it, so they don't have that anymore. They may take that amenity away. So if they take amenities away and they no longer have to maintain them, then yes, they will lower the dues. But with the high cost of maintenance anymore, especially green spaces, if a neighborhood has a lot of green spaces to mow and maintain, mowing is extraordinarily expensive these days, more than it was before. So those expenses keep going higher and higher. But I want to make sure you understand that you as a homeowner have a say in raising those dues. You need to be going to the meetings. You need to be voicing your opinion. You need to read your bylaws and realize what your responsibilities are, not just your rights, but your responsibilities are. And you have a right to be part of that discussion and part of that voting at that neighborhood meeting on what those dues are.
Victor, you're welcome to hang on if you want to, and Eric will get to you right after the break. Stay tuned to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000 KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. You are listening to Becky Ivins, leader of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team, and you are listening to Georgie Rasko from the Neighborhood Alliance of Central Oklahoma.
Good morning.
Good morning, Georgie. It's time for our word of the day, brought to you by Robbins Roofing, where their word every day is trust. You can trust Robbins Roofing to help you with your insurance claim. They're really good at settling a claim, and they're really good at doing all the work or subcontracting out some of the work if It's not in their wheelhouse. Most things are actually in their wheelhouse. They're a general contractor, so they can do the repair and painting of the chipped up wood from a hailstorm, and they can really help you out. So Robbins Roofing, 728-3700. That is true. It's 728-3700, Robbins Roofing. Our word of the day today. Boy, I'm distracted, Georgie. Our word of the day today is yard art. You said something about the first thing that came to your mind is flamingo.
Yes.
Probably because someone complained because a neighbor had pink flamingos all over their yard or something like that. So yard art. Well, broadly speaking, yard art is a man-made aesthetic experience occurring in a private yard or garden, as well as those found in outdoor spaces, yard escape, on outdoor spaces, such as pastures, nurseries, community gardens, and vacant lots. So yard art, that sometimes is a problem with neighborhood associations,
it is.
Isn't it?
Especially homeowner associations, and that word aesthetic is the reason, because what's beautiful to one person is not necessarily beautiful to the rest of the neighborhood. So in homeowner associations, the board of directors or the architectural review committee or whoever is in charge of deciding what is or isn't yard art in that HOA really does have the final say. And the caller before us asked about things going to court. Things like yard art can sometimes be taken to court if the HOA doesn't like a big piece of art or something that's in the yard and the homeowner refuses to take it down, then that kind of thing can sometimes be taken to court.
We had an HOA educational event by the Sales and Marketing Committee at Central Oklahoma Home Builders, and you were there as a panelist.
Yes.
And one of the pictures one of the attorneys brought was art, sort of.
Sort of.
Well, he brought
in one man's eyes.
He brought a few of those, didn't he? It had like a toilet right out by the curb as a planter.
Yes.
And that homeowner had done that just to aggravate the neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
What happened to resolve that was they invited him to come to a neighborhood association meeting and have a say. So how can someone get involved in a neighborhood association?
You've got to go to those meetings, especially when you're in a homeowner association. You cannot forget that you are a part owner. You are a co-owner of that neighborhood. When you move into that neighborhood, you move in and you own the common areas. You co-own that swimming pool. You co-own all the common grasses. You co-own the playground. You have as much liability of what goes on in that swimming pool and that playground and even those private roads, if you have them, as you do in your own home. So if you are comfortable leaving all of that liability and that responsibility to a group of people that maybe you know or maybe you don't, then fine, sit at home on your couch and don't go to the meetings. They're going to raise your dues. They're going to make decisions that you're maybe not happy with, but you've chosen to do that. But if you don't like the decisions that are being made, go to those meetings. Even if you do like the decisions that are made, go to those meetings and voice your opinion. You have a right to go to those meetings and kick the people out that aren't making good decisions. Your bylaws will help you do that. Or voice your opinion and get other neighbors to come and help you make better decisions in that neighborhood.
A quorum in most neighborhood associations is not very many people.
Right, especially with new language that's being input in a lot of bylaws now called diminishing quorum, which you need to go if you have diminishing quorum, because diminishing quorum, which is a godsend for a lot of neighborhoods, but what it means is that you call a meeting to order. You have the quorum of whatever it means, either 50 or 55% or whatever quorum is. If you don't meet that standard, then that meeting is immediately discharged. It's immediately let go. And another meeting is called to order immediately. You don't even have to leave the room. Another meeting is immediately called to order, at which time a quorum is the number of people that are present. Now, that has to be listed on your invitation. It can't be like a secret thing that's going on. It has to be included in your bylaws that they can do that. It's that so that the neighborhood can't hold the board hostage so that they can't ever get anything done because there's no quorum. But at the same time, it means that a handful of people are going to be making decisions on your neighborhood.
Wow. And that's important.
Yeah.
Because if they don't act responsibly, your neighborhood, a corporation, mm-hmm. can get sued.
Absolutely.
And then guess what?
Every single one of your households can possibly be included in that lawsuit. If you haven't been to the meetings and they don't have the right insurance, or if you haven't been to the meetings and they don't have the right maintenance, if you haven't been to the meetings and they don't have the right precautions in place, yes, every single home can be liable in some lawsuits.
Boy, it can get pretty dicey if you are not careful as an association board of directors.
Absolutely.
You can really put your neighbors in a dangerous situation.
Yes, you can.
So, Mr. Gannon, are you ready to get our next caller on? Good morning, Larry.
Good morning, Becky. You know, the biggest problem is people don't want to join things. I mean, you can't get people to join Rotary or mm-hmm. Knights of Columbus or anything else. And in neighborhoods, it's very difficult to get people to want to show up to meetings. That's why you have to have an agenda and make sure that it gets done quickly. The other thing is, when you have a neighborhood association, everybody's part of the neighborhood association. But then sometimes, I don't want to badmouth realtors, but they will list on MLS that it's not a mandatory neighborhood association, and there's no way for the neighborhood to correct that.
I totally agree with everything that you've said. Apathy is killing this country. Apathy, and people don't want to join. People don't want to get out of their houses once they get home. And that's mm-hmm. that's a big problem with PTAs, with churches, with neighborhood associations, with any kind of organization. And you're right. And yes, I've talked to a ton of realtors and said, when you have a home in a voluntary neighborhood association, please put something on the countertops when you're showing the home. Put their newsletter or some kind of a flyer saying, you know, you're moving into a neighborhood with an organized neighborhood association. It's not mandatory, but nonetheless, this is an organized neighborhood that's going to help you keep this neighborhood pristine.
What's happened in some of the properties in my neighborhood where I'm the president? They say, somebody says, well, the realtor told me that it's not a mandatory association, and I'm looking at the deed, and it says, I agree to follow all of the covenants and restrictions as mapped out by the neighborhood association.
And
it's a real tough sell because they're saying, well, the realtor told me that. They don't have access to the MLS, and then I look at the MLS, and I'm thinking, yeah, why were you telling that person that information?
Yeah.
I don't know of anybody who has an exemption in neighborhood associations where there's 400 homes.
Well, there are some voluntary associations that have 400 homes. Yes, there are some.
Well, but, yeah,
but I know what you're saying, that yeah. realtors yeah. sometimes, and sometimes they will say something just to sell the home. I hope they're not doing yeah. that on purpose. But as the HOA, I do encourage HOAs to have a welcome wagon. And every new person that moves in should be greeted with a little basket, maybe with a dozen cookies that somebody can bake, and a copy of the covenants and a copy of the bylaws. And I encourage yeah. you to even get them to sign that just say, you know, I just have to prove that I didn't eat these cookies, that I really delivered them to your house. Can you sign here that you got this copy? And then maybe 2 years later, when they built a fence that they weren't supposed to, and they say, oh, I never got a copy of the covenants, you can go back and say, yes, you did, and you signed for them, actually. You know, because you're right that there's not a good system in place, unfortunately, through the title companies or the real estate agents, where we can guarantee 100% of the time that they're getting a set of those covenants.
Yeah. Well, have a great day, guys. Thanks
for calling.
Thank you, Larry Stein, our county assessor in Oklahoma County. And so now we've got a realtor sitting right here on the radio, so let me speak up.
Okay.
That's one of the things that is, like, I'm presenting an offer on a property this morning as soon as the show's over. And it's a very acceptable offer, could be signed exactly as is, except for one thing. the realtor neglected to put the mandatory homeowner association addendum on there. So when you buy a property, if it's got a mandatory homeowners association, there's an addendum that's attached to your contract so that you as a buyer acknowledge that exists. And it's important that that be attached.
Absolutely.
It would be irresponsible of a realtor not to do that. Now, on the other hand, I'm going to tell you, I think it would be irresponsible of a realtor to not say it's voluntary, if it is voluntary, because you need to know whether it's mandatory or voluntary. And marketing the HOA as mandatory is awesome. That's what you need to do. Marketing the neighborhood association as not mandatory, because it's not mandatory. You can't be going around telling people, hey, it's mandatory that you join this. What you do is you get the newsletter, you market the organized neighborhood.
I would think that would be a selling point, to let them know that the neighbors are so involved in that neighborhood that they've organized themselves.
It's probably why those people, the buyers, are interested in buying, is because the neighborhood looks great.
Exactly.
It's active with activities and things. So that's probably why someone's interested in purchasing. But you got to differentiate between mandatory and voluntary, nonetheless. And most of the voluntary associations are extremely affordable. They're $25 to $50 a year.
Oh, some of them are even $10 a year.
So, I mean, you know, to pay that every year to have your neighborhood a better place to live is a great thing to do.
It is.
Yes. We've got more. I want you to give us a call at 840-1000. Here's a lunch at Casa Perico's for anyone who can tell me what Neighbors Night Out is. Neighbors Night Out. Give me a call. 840-1000. We'll be back right after this on with more of Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. You are listening to Becky Ivins, broker of Movers Real Estate Company, license number 47388, and Georgie Rasko. We do have our smoking hot deals, but first let me ask Georgie a question. Georgie, actually, we've got a couple of callers that may be able to answer the question.
Very good.
What is Neighbors Night Out? Can we go ahead and take Ann?
Yes.
Good morning, Ann.
Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
I think I know what Neighbors Night Out is. It's when the neighborhood gets together and has different activities and things, eating occasions one night a year, and all the neighbors go around in our neighborhood and go to the different, what we call stations, and enjoys each other, gets to know each other, and partakes in some fun activity or eating, and we just have a good time.
Wonderful. That's exactly what it is. For a bonus, do you know what day it is this year? What day it's being
held? What?
Do you know what day it's being held this year?
Oh, we've had it on our little letter we get, but I don't know it off the top of my head. It's on my calendar. Does that count?
It does count. It's on Tuesday, September the 12th this year.
Okay.
We always hold it the week before the state fair happens, because once the state fair happens, the police are out of pocket. They're always very busy at the state fair. So you're exactly right.
I did not know that connected with the state fair event. Well, that's good to know. That's a good way to pin it.
Yeah. And you're exactly right. It's a time for neighbors to get together, do something social. They can do anything. You can just do your block, even if you don't have a whole neighborhood association. Just do your own block. Get together. You can have something as little as a watermelon feast. Just get a couple of watermelons and share them with your neighborhood, your neighbors in your front porch. Some neighborhoods have 400 people at their neighbor's night out. Some are huge, some are small. We have over 100 different parties going on across the city on that night. We pass out the information. We like all the neighborhoods that are participating to register on our website. We then pass out that information to all the police department, the fire departments, the state legislators for the state of Oklahoma, the city of Oklahoma City councils and department heads, and all of them go around and try to visit as many of those parties as they can. So the children get a chance to meet police officers, to visit, to see a fire truck. Even waste management comes out to a few of them with a clean, beautiful waste management truck so they can see a garbage truck and see how it works. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is. It's fun.
Well, you know, and there's a difference in Oklahoma's and in the national.
Exactly.
National Night Out is usually the second Tuesday in August. Mm-hmm. And we used to do that here. And then we decided... It's August in Oklahoma.
Yes.
That's not a good plan.
I had too many visions of people passing out and dying while they're trying to cook hot dogs for their neighbors. So we moved ours to a little bit cooler weather time in September. So that's and Texas followed suit, and so did New Mexico, and some of the other hot states followed suit. And so we can't use the word national night out. That's why we call ours neighbors night out instead.
It's the second Tuesday in September.
Yes.
September 10th this year?
Yes, September 10th.
September 10th. And I just have to say, I'm going to tell you a little bit about our neighborhood night out. Our neighborhood's quite small. We've got 39 homes.
I love that.
Well, we love that because it really is a community with only 39 homes. But I will tell you, it really is no more of a community than Rollingwood was when I lived there, which has 674 homes. We were the most active voluntary neighborhood association in the metro.
And they still are.
It's a great, great neighborhood. And that's because the leaders of that neighborhood, Shelley Chapel, is one of the vendors I deal with on a regular basis. She has Clutter Free, and she's the president of the association and is just really carrying the burden of the of a lot. So, but our neighborhood association has, it's in my front yard, is where, because I'm kind of in the middle curve of that little neighborhood. But we have had a pet parade. We have had a pie contest. We have had a food truck. We have had, well, we always have frozen margaritas. last year and this year, we've got taco bars. And this year, we have Magic Joe, who was on America's Got Talent.
Wow, you're going full force.
And he has Snow Dojo. Snow Dojo
is
a little, it's the cutest little truck you ever saw. Tiny, tiny little truck. And he sells snow cones, donuts, and coffee. Snow Dojo.
Oh, I get it now.
And so he's going to be at our neighborhood party this year. So you can do whatever you want to make that a really good event for you.
Right.
And it's just awesome. So
the main purpose of Neighbors Night Out is to get to know your neighbors. And that's because we know empirically through studies and just from seeing it happen, the more social your neighborhood is, the less crime you'll have. It's true from rich neighborhoods to inner city neighborhoods. The more you know your neighbors, the less crime you're going to have.
What are two simple steps that my neighbors and I can take to control neighborhood crime? We've got about 1 minute, Georgie.
The best thing you can do is start to use 911. If you're like me, when I was young, I was taught somebody better have a knife sticking out of them or they're pregnant and they're delivering before you call 911, and that's the exact opposite. You should call 911 on all suspicious activity. If you see something happening at your neighbor's house that just doesn't look right, or if they see something around your house, you need to go and give them permission to please call 911 on all suspicious activity.
Wow. It's been a fun show.
I've had fun, Georgie.
Thank you for coming. If you've got other information, you know, you need information about a neighborhood association, maybe you're on the board, you need help, do call Neighborhood Alliance of Central Oklahoma. That's NACOK.org. Go to the website. Thanks for tuning in. We're going to be here next week, same time, same bat time, same bat channel.
Thanks for having me.